You got to be honest, it's hard to follow how great thou art. I was in college, and I was pulling an all-nighter. And it was the first time I'd ever pulled an all-nighter. And I was really, really tired. And one of the things you have to know about me is I have terrible, terrible eyesight. Like, if I didn't have my contacts in right now, you all would look just like a bunch of trees. I mean, it's really, really bad. And so it was an all-nighter. I'm really tired. I'm rushed to get to my first class. And I hadn't been able to put my glasses in because they were broken during a Chapman Hall dodgeball game, literally in the hall. And so I didn't have my glasses. And I'm walking over to the little sink that's in our room, and I'm just so exhausted. So I put the toothpaste on my toothbrush, and I start to brush my teeth, and I begin to realize very quickly that all is not right with the world. This taste was so putrid in my mouth that I was mortified. I started to rip at my tongue. I started throwing water everywhere. My roommate jumps up and he's like, "What is going on?" And I'm like, "Ah!" I couldn't say anything, and this was just hanging on my mouth, and I couldn't get the taste off. And so finally, I just quickly and rushed, and I put my contacts in, and I looked down, and I actually had unfortunately put a dollop of Preparation H. It was my roommate's. On my toothbrush. I'm going to tell you this morning, bad things happen when you have lack of vision. Let me say that again. Bad things happen when you have lack of vision. And it's amazing. So now that you know I have terrible eyesight, when Kaylee and I moved up here, we began to go to Dr. Rovenstein. So Sharon Rovenstein, we go to her practice, and she only makes fun of me a little bit for my eyesight, because I'm telling you, it's really, really bad. It's really bad. I remember sitting in the chair, and I was having my first initial visit with her, and she said, "You know, with your contacts in, you actually have 20/15 vision." And I was like, "Oh no, it's still terrible." You know, I had no idea what 20/15 meant. All I know is that 20/20 is what? Perfect. She said, "Well, 20/20 is perfect, but 20/15 is better than perfect." I'm here to tell you this morning that today I want to share with you a better than perfect vision for Trinity Church of the Nazarene. Amen. I hope you all are geared up and excited. I am going to talk a ton, but you just hang with me. All right. You're like, "Well, what else is new?" I apologize. I was on my grave on Wednesday, not literally, but I have been fighting just allergies and sickness this whole week, so I might sound terrible. But, you know, the amazing thing is about this Vision 2015. It's a vision that's going to carry us into the year 2015. The amazing thing about this vision is that a lot of you may not know is that Trinity was founded in 1940. So if you're doing the math very quickly, this vision has the ability to carry us into our diamond anniversary as a church. 75 years. Amen. Can we celebrate that this morning? And I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but when it's our diamond anniversary as a church, 75 years, I'm ready to celebrate. Amen. Herb, you ready to celebrate? Amen. And so, in order to fully share with you, we need to first look at the inspiration for this vision. And it comes to us from Nehemiah chapter 1. Now, Nehemiah has served for me an incredible book at how to really understand what a vision can look like for a church. When we first pick up the story in Nehemiah chapter 1, we go to verse 3, and we see very quickly that Jerusalem's walls are broken down. In fact, the scripture says that the Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. Now, typically when pastors begin with this type of a reference in this statement, it's because the gates of the church are on fire and the walls are tumbling down and crumbling around us. And we have to address things as a body. Amen. I can stand before you this morning and tell you that we, Trinity Church of Nazarene, is a very healthy church. We are not just healthy spiritually and numerically and financially, but we're healthy because we have done something from the very beginning. From the very beginning, we've given God the glory and God the honor, and He's the one that's shaping all this out for us. Amen? You're going to hear this morning things that are going to come out. And in all of it, I want you to know that God gets all the glory. God gets all the honor. And there are God-sized things that are happening all the time here at Trinity. And so I can stand before you with confidence to say that our gates aren't burning. Our walls aren't crumbling. But it doesn't mean that we don't pay attention to the past in order to help inform our future. Amen. Nehemiah 1:4 says, when I heard these things, this is Nehemiah understanding his reaction to what happened with Jerusalem. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. One of the first things I want to tell you about this vision is that we, as a leadership team and myself, we have gone to the Lord over and over again with this. We have fasted. We have prayed. All of this has been bathed in God's glory for us. And it has nothing to do with us. It has all to do with Him. Amen? And you have to also know, I mean, just like Nehemiah's reaction, he was heart deep in all of this for Jerusalem. And I want to reaffirm for you, I think you've heard me say it a number of times, I and the leadership team and the staff of this church are heart deep in Trinity. And we have vested interest in seeing God do amazing things in and among and through us. So Nehemiah sets out, and we see in chapter 2, verse 11, Nehemiah does something important before he makes any plans. Before he even planned to rebuild the city, he had to first take an inventory. He had to first inspect the walls. So this last year and a half, it's been a wonderful time of inspection for us as a church. Not only was it an inspection of who we are, but it's an inspection of the role and effort that we have in the community. The one thing that we learned over the past year and a half is that we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. And myself and other key people have personally spent the last year meeting with community leaders, program coordinators, and organizational leaders throughout the community. And one of the things that we've learned is that Naperville Cares, Loaves and Fishes, Hesed House, Hope for Tomorrow, Feed My Starving Children, Safe Families, Youth 360, Wayside Mission, just to name a few. These are all organizations that are doing their jobs incredibly well. The last thing that we need to do is duplicate anything that they're already doing on a full-time basis. What we need to do as a church is we need to supply the hands and the feet to those ministries. We need to be getting out there and we need to be supporting the Hesed Houses. We need to be supporting the Loaves and Fishes. We need to show our community that we are not just interested in creating something and going, hey, look at us. Look at what we created. Instead, we're going to go down to Loaves and Fishes. We're going to hand a stack of groceries to a person that needs that care and that love. And we're going to say, we do this because God called us to. That's who Trinity is. Our 2015 commitment to you is that we want to continue to solidify and seek out what Trinity's impact will be in our community. We are praying and we are believing that over the next 2 years, God will reveal a significant plan and a ministry that is uniquely specific to Trinity Church of the Nazarene. We will support these efforts that are already at work. But we are going to go to our knees and we are going to fast and we are going to pray about what God will do with us. And a ministry that right now is maybe lacking in our community that we can say, we're going to carry that banner. We're going to take on that call. We are going to make a difference. That is our heart. Because it's not about us. It's about what God wants to do in and through us. We launched the Power of One this year. Man, what an awesome opportunity. It's already helped us to do a number of things. It's helped us to send Pastor Herb and Carolyn to Jamaica to teach Nazarene pastors there. It provides the opportunity for the Hendersons to continue to live in Haiti. It gives, it's helping to send the Lovetts to African Nazarene University as they teach on Stephen's sabbatical. It's working with the governors in a growing orphan initiative. I'm on the phone with Mary constantly talking about what will this and what could this look like. And there are some things that are on the horizon for Trinity that's going to take a monster size faith. But I don't know about you, but I serve the God of monster size faiths. Amen. I don't have to worry about myself trying to come up with the needs. I don't have to worry about myself trying to come up with the funds. I don't have to worry myself about trying to figure out how we're going to do this, because God's already done it. We're just catching up. Power of One is providing much needed financial assistance to hurting families, as well as providing resources such as food, clothing, and transportation. Our goal is to continue to grow the Power of One in order to create a sustainable outcome in our giving to those in need. Our goal is we want to continue to grow the influence of Power of One, because we want to provide sustainable opportunities for our people that are in need. I wish I could go into great detail on the life change that has happened because of this incredible ministry called Power of One. God is at work. He's on the loose, and he's using these initiatives to change his kingdom. Amen. Nehemiah 3. I'm sorry. While talking over some giving situations, actually with the leadership team, it was encouraging to hear a board member say, well, you know, this is actually the first time in a long time that we actually have the resources to even offer to someone in their time of need. That's encouraging to me. That shows that we're honoring God in this. God's supplying. So Nehemiah 3 is the poster chapter for the saying, many hands make light work. And the vision that I'm sharing with you today is going to take all of us working together to accomplish the goal. Nehemiah 3 is not just a chapter of who worked where, but a chapter of why they worked there. You see, Nehemiah had the leaders of Jerusalem repair the gates first, because he wanted people to see that the leaders supported the rebuilding project. I'm going to tell you this right now. Our leadership team is committed to standing out and saying, I am willing to lead. They're willing to get at the gates where people, you know, Nehemiah was so smart. He did it so strategically. He knew that people had to get in and out of the city through the gates. So all of a sudden, as they're going in and out, they're looking at the leaders. The leaders were the ones that started the rebuilding process first. So as a leadership team, and as your pastor, and as a staff, we are committed to building the gates. We are committed to setting the example. My first Sunday here, I preached a message to you, and I washed the feet of our leadership team that was during that time that called me here to be your pastor. And I told you then, and I'm going to tell you now, I will never ask you to do something that I myself am not willing to do. We have to lead the way. We have to be willing to set an example and a tone for what this means and what this vision will look like. This vision I'm sharing with you again has been fasted over. It's been taken before wise counsel. And I want you to know that your leadership team has been outstanding in navigating the waters of a growing and thriving church. In fact, right now, I think it would be appropriate for us to show our appreciation to our church board and for all the effort. And so I know that there are some that can't be with us this morning, but if you are on the church board, would you please stand now? And can we just show our appreciation to them? I can tell you from personal experience, they put up with a lot with me. Here's something interesting. Nehemiah created unity in the community by using an amazing strategy for repairing the wall. He had people repair the part of the wall that was closest to their home. This meant that people in Jerusalem had vested interest in repairing the wall. He utilized the fact that they were concerned about their safety. So he said, I'll tell you what, let's everybody go out and let's repair the wall in the location that is closest to your home. So people worked, and they worked hard. So the question I have for you that I need to ask you this morning is, what is your vested interest in Trinity? What is your vested interest? Where can you invest either your time, your talent, or your treasure? Because again, it's going to take all of us working together. Let me just talk to you real quick. If you're visiting with us this morning, this is a great Sunday to be here, because you're going to catch a small glimpse of what God is doing. And let me tell you, if you're a person that's been here a long, long time, you know that God is doing something that's amazing, far greater than us. And so we get to connect into what's already happening. So it's amazing that the interesting thing for us is we have the opportunity to move forward and to create community and to really ask, God, what is it that he's asking us to do? And they were doing this towards a common goal. The Israelites were all working towards the same goal. They wanted to repair the walls of the city. But what is our common goal as a church? This is a great question. Exactly 1 year ago today, I unveiled our 5 core values for the very first time. These banners have been hanging up here now exactly 365 days. These banners aren't just pretty. They serve a purpose. They serve as the core values of who we are as a church. If you ever have to guess what we do, what we're about, and who we're about, it's about worship and prayer. It's about connecting. It's about growing and serving. And then most importantly, we have to look at the fact that every time we walk out the doors, we walk under the banner of go. It's not enough for us to keep it to ourselves. We have to take it and we have to share it out with the world. And that's one of the things that we are making a major step in doing, is we are sharing this message with the world. So when we unveiled these core values, it was amazing to watch how each of our areas of ministry, how they adopted and utilized our core values as a roadmap, as a template for ministry. It's been amazing to watch how all of our ministries have aligned with one focus and purpose. I'm so proud of ministries such as men's and women's ministries who have taken the core values of the church and they've recognized that we can do this at our ministry level. And so they are focused with laser intensity into what God wants to do through their ministry. And they're using these core values as a roadmap. I'm so encouraged to tell you this morning that the men of this church are fired up. Amen. Wow, that was lame. I mean,
hey, amen.
I am pleased to tell you that the men of this church are fired up. Thank you. That they are committed in prayer. And especially on Tuesday mornings at 6:30. If you want to come and pray, there are a group of men that gather here in this place at 6:30 on Tuesday mornings to pray over your church and over your community. I'm telling you that it's amazing to watch how women's ministries has adopted new opportunities in reaching out to the greater community. It's gone from this, oh, wow, look, we did this thing and isn't this neat. And look how awesome we had all the people from Trinity here. It's totally blown up now. And women's ministries and men's ministries and children's ministries and youth ministries is going, you know what? We've got to be able to do our best for what God has for us. And we want to share it with everyone around us. And we want them to connect. Because when they connect in, they connect with God. Amen? But something was missing. And the thing that was missing was a mission statement. The one-line reference that summarizes overall purpose and common goals of the church. As part of our 2015 vision, I want to reveal to you our new mission statement. And our mission statement is going to serve for us as who we are and what we do. And it's reaching people to equip people to reach people. This is what's going to guide us as a church. If there is a one line that you can use, what is your church about? You know what? We're about reaching people. But not just to reach people. We want to reach them to equip them. And when we equip them, we want to get them back out to reach people. It's a palindrome. I love palindromes. The staff just keeps laughing at me every time I say that. Because when we sat down and we were still before the Lord and we paid close attention to what he was shaping around us, in us, and through us, this mission was so obvious. Our core values fit into reaching people, to equip people, to reach people. And I hope you're excited. I know what you're thinking. Another banner. Don't worry. Isn't it pretty? We're gonna put this out. Don't worry. We're not gonna hang. Yeah. So, but it's so exciting that now we have a mission statement that we can grasp our hands around and say, this is who we are. To summarize our core values into one sentence. But let's break that down. What does it mean, reaching people? Well, Trinity hasn't fallen short in the area of reaching people. In fact, from February 2012 to February 2013, we have grown by 29.4%. 29.4% in 1 year. In statistical growth health church charts, this isn't on the chart. This is off the chart. Please hear me say this. You are in the midst of a God work. Because only God can do that. Not one person or persons has the ability to grow a congregation 29.4%. That doesn't even make sense. I tell people that. We had a coach meet with our staff, and as we started to work together, he looked at me and he said, I'm sorry to tell you this. He said, first of all, you all need to understand, this isn't normal. He said, this isn't normal. He said, this is God-sized. And I said, praise the Lord. And then he looked at me and he said, I hate to tell you this. Don't mess it up. And I'm like, oh, no pressure, right? I'm going to be honest with you about something this morning. I've struggled. I've struggled to hear that there are conversations happening in our body that says that I'm prideful. That hits me. My message this morning was actually unity and community, and we were going to talk about John chapter 8 and the woman that was dragged out onto the street, and now they all had stones in their hands. And Jesus said, you without sin, cast the first stone. Our prayer as a church is Ephesians 4, that God would continue to bind us together through the unity of peace. We pray it over and over again. It kills me to think that I have left some door open for anyone in the congregation to think that this is about me, because it's not. And can I just give you all permission this morning? If you want to talk about me, just talk to me. My door is open. I think that I've proven time and time again that you can always come to me and I will listen. It just kills me to think that it would be anything less than what God is doing. We're on pace from February 2013 to February 2014 to grow an additional 14.5%. It's unreal. And that's a total of 43.9% over 2 years. I don't know how else I can really kind of shape it to help you understand. This is God-sized. This is God-sized. This is huge. We are living out Scripture in Acts chapter 2. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. We are living that out right now. And the best part of the growth is that only God can get the glory. not only has our attendance grown, but our staff has grown. You may have noticed. It's incredible to think that this time last year, it was Pastor Sally's second Sunday. So last week was Pastor Sally's Trinity anniversary. Isn't that exciting? And today, after service, we're going to be celebrating our addition of our youth pastor, Xavier, after the service. So hang out. Think about it. We've grown from 2 full-time staff to 4 full-time staff, 1 volunteer, 1 bivocational, 1 stipend, and 1 intern, for a total of 8 staff members, not including our incredible office administrator, Michelle, and our secretary, Laura. That's amazing. And all of this is only possible because we refinanced our mortgage last year to a savings of $6,400 a month in payments. $6,400 a month. That's an eventual $78,600 savings that we invested in the hiring of staff. Because one of our core values and tenets is that we want to reach people. We want to reach people and we want to equip them. And when we equip them, we want to send them back out to reach more people. And because we've been reaching more and more people, I'm pleased to announce to you this morning that beginning October 6th, the first Sunday in October, we're going to be offering a second service on Sunday mornings. And this is something that we have just been going to God in prayer over. We have been praying about what this would look like for over a year. And you've heard me say that we have maxed out our space. And I know we look around and we might see openings and spots, but our average attendance is actually over our capacity for this room on a typical Sunday morning. So let me talk you through this new schedule, what it's going to look like. First and foremost, you need to hear me tell you this, that both the 9 and 10:45 service will be duplicate services. They will be the same. There will be no difference. What you get at 9 o'clock will be the same at 10:45, and what you get at 10:45 will be the same that it was at 9 o'clock. They will be the same service. So at 9 o'clock, we'll have worship here. And then children and youth will be having Sunday school during that time. And then we have adult Sunday school option number 1. This is what we refer to as ABFs. We're actually going to be changing the language on that. ABF stood for Adult Bible Fellowships. And during the time when those were launched, they were meeting a specific need in the life of the congregation. We're going back to calling it adult Sunday school because that's what it is. It's an opportunity for discipleship, for continuing education, for those especially that have been serving in ministry areas throughout the week. And that's their time to be able to do community and life together. So we're going to have an option 1 during the 9 o'clock service. And then you'll see later in the 10:45 that there'll be an option number 2. We're also going to be offering special interest options. Financial Peace University, which is a huge ministry opportunity for our church. We, like I talked about, we want to create sustainable environments. Financial Peace University has the ability to be able to take people that are struggling maybe or want to get more education in finances and what that looks like in their homes and in their marriages, and has the ability to create a sustainable outcome. And so we want to support that. We're going to be also launching parenting ministries and marriage ministries. You're going to hear more about that later, but those will be some options that are going to be offered during those times. And then lastly, you see this new thing on there, Starting Point. Well, it's something new that we're launching October 6th, and it's a modification of our Fresh Start class that Paul Sloan was teaching. So Starting Point is a 13-week class for new believers, returning believers, and those interested in getting to know Trinity a little bit better. The last 3 weeks of Starting Point will be centered around membership, and Paul Sloan will continue to teach that class, and he'll actually be working with Juan Ruiz. So we are excited about Starting Point being that opportunity to connect new people into a class that runs 13 weeks and then it starts over to get a new class of people in. We are aligning ourselves with what God wants to do and bringing people into His church. He has supplied the people because He trusts us. I don't ever want to mismanage God's trust. So at 10:15 to 10:45, we're actually going to be doing an intentional coffee fellowship time. And that will take place in the gym. So when the morning Sunday school lets out, when the morning service lets out, when people are gathering in to get ready for the next Sunday school options and also for this next service at 10:45, that time together is going to be very intentional in the gym for us to come together. One of the things that we have been just heartbroken over this decision is the fact that now we have two separate services, which can potentially lead to two separate congregations. And unfortunately, we've really tried to keep it together as long as we could, but God just keeps busting our numbers up, you know? And it's like, all right, well, I guess we need to be flexible. And so we're going to do an intentional coffee fellowship time. And George Davis is an unsung hero on Sunday mornings. Come on, right? Where are my coffee drinkers at? He really is, and I thank George and Davette and their ministry over the years, and I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm on their behalf. I'm going to stand before you and tell you that that coffee fellowship in the gym is a big undertaking. They are going to need a team of people. They're going to need help. They're going to need people that are going to come alongside them and help them and create an environment that's going to be welcoming and warm to our people that are coming in, to those of us that are here, and just create a really awesome fellowship opportunity. So then at 10:45, we'll have worship number two, and then there'll be the adult Sunday school option number two with another special interest option. So we're utilizing the time that we have to really try to be a little bit more flexible in even our offerings. One of the things I want you to hear as we go further into this vision is that we are committed to continuing our Sunday school, adult Sunday school ministries, because it's vital. It's an important piece of who we are, and it's a part of our identity. And so I want you to make sure that you hear that. And then you also have on here 5:30. A lot of people don't realize that 5:30 on Sunday nights here, it's a bit of a buzz. We have caravans that are going. We have Trinity Student Ministries that's happening. And also, we're going to be potentially looking at offering even a Financial Peace University class in the PM, because maybe it doesn't work in the morning. Our overall goal on Sunday mornings is for our people to worship at one and serve at one. It's going to take extra hands for us to pull off two services. And we've got major buy-in from our tech team, our creative team, our staff, our leaders, our ministry areas. I mean, there is major buy-in. They have been praying over this for months. And we are just so excited about where God's going to take this and how he's going to use it in order to continue to grow his church. Because that's the other thing. Scripture is very clear. Only God can grow the church. That's it. So we see in the story of Nehemiah 4:16 that he equipped his people with the tools to ensure their safety. So I'm going to go to the next piece of equipping people. So we talked about reaching people. Now we're going to talk about equipping people. So we want as a church to equip our people with multiple growth opportunities. Let me talk about a couple of important equip areas that we want to launch this fall. The biggest launch this fall in our equipping side is going to definitely be in our life groups. Some of you have heard, have been a part of conversations already about life groups. What does that mean? What does that look like? Life groups will actually serve as an intentional small group community. Now, we have a BHAP. Our BHAP, our Big Hairy Audacious Prayer. You've heard of a BHAG, right? Our Big Hairy Audacious Goal. Our Big Hairy Audacious Prayer is that we will eventually, in our life groups ministry, have 100% participation. Because we believe that life groups has the opportunity to really continue to build our core communities. The truth is, as the church grows larger, we have to grow smaller. Because the influence of our pastoral staff, the influence of the people around us, as our church continues to grow like it has, it becomes less and less, and we need to create cultures of care. And we believe that life groups offers not only that culture of care, but also the flexibility to work in people's time frames so that they understand or so that they can be able to calendar things in order to be able to be a part. So GroupLink will actually be one of the mechanisms that we use to populate these groups. So happening two or three times a year, Group Link is a two-hour event specifically designed to create groups either by geographical area or special interest. Now, hear me say this. Some of you already have a group of people that you would love to make a group. In fact, maybe when I said life groups and we're talking about intentional small group ministries, you're thinking to yourself, oh man, maybe this group of people, we could get together. I want you to hear me tell you this morning that we fully support you being able to put groups together. This isn't going to be managed by the church where we're going to be telling you what group you have to be in. We're going to provide the opportunity for these groups to naturally take shape, and GroupLink will provide that opportunity to happen again in a natural setting. We want to be mindful that the only thing that we ask is that there will be a certified life group leader in each group. We're going to be intentional about what those life groups study. We're going to be intentional about what is happening in those life groups, because our ultimate goal and desire is to continue to do this biblically. That as house churches met together in small groups, they all were united together in what they were doing, and they were all moving together towards one purpose and goal. And that's our ultimate goal, is we want to continue to move together as Trinity Church into the future. Life groups allows for flexibility. You can utilize one of our already established times like 9 or 10:45 or even 5:30, but you can also choose another time during the week to meet as a group. And if you're interested, you can in either being a life group leader, or if you're interested in participating in a life group, following the service, Pastor Tara Beth and Katie will be at a table, and they're actually going to be handing out information and starting conversations. So if that's something that you're really interested in, please see Pastor Tara Beth. We know that life groups won't be an overnight success, but we want to make sure that we see it through to 2015. Amen? Another important launch that's happening this fall is our marriage and family ministry. One of the amazing things that's happened over the course of a year and a half is our children's ministries has skyrocketed. And our marriage numbers have also gone way up. Just actually last week, we had over 11 in our 2 and 3 year old room. Have you ever been in a room with 11 2 and 3 year olds? Ask Brian Tuxhorn. Brian has adopted those kids, and this morning he didn't even know what to do with himself because it was Promotion Sunday. And Promotion Sunday, like, wiped out because they're almost all three. So they're now in Miss Weaver's class. So now Miss Weaver is going to need extra hands as her class continues to grow. And so what I'm telling you this because our nursery has been overcrowded. We have an overcrowding situation in our nursery. They're averaging over 12 babies under the age of 1 in our nursery. Folks. Please, let me implore you, if there is an area of ministry that we need extra hands, it's in our nursery. They need some help. Now, obviously, you have to go through a safe place training, and you have to be here for 6 months as an attender in order to be able to work in our children, youth, and our nursery children and youth ministries. But man, let's get that going right away so that we can support our nursery workers and especially support our children. It's amazing. We keep adding more and more. It's amazing to think that Amber and Joe Miller, they just had their baby. And then just last week, we welcomed Joaquin Alexander into this world with the parents of Chase and Angie Rogers. I mean, it's just like every time I turn around, I'm at the hospital visiting a family that's having a new baby. It's awesome. But marriage and family ministries is one of the fastest growing ministries in our church. And our vision is to help shape the culture of our families and to create a common vision of parenting and childcare in the church that's based on a God-given biblical principles, so that the families live out those principles and in turn attract the world to God. Let me just tell you real quick, we have classes called Toddlerhood Transitions, which is launching September 22nd at 9 a.m. in the Fireside Room. So Toddlerhood Transitions is already in swing. It's already happening, and you can jump in that. If you have a toddler and you want at 9 o'clock, you can connect in on that class in the Fireside Room. See Randy and Kathy Lowen or Aaron Crawford for more information on that. We're also launching classes like Prep for Parenting. So if you have a newborn or you have young ones, little ones, you can connect into that class that helps you get through some of those early months and years of parenting. And then also one of the things I'm really excited to announce is that we're going to be offering multiple small groups for that's intentional for growing kids God's way. We had a core group of families that went through that program. I was one of them. We actually hosted it at my house. And I can tell you that it has revolutionized homes already in the life of our congregation. And it is wonderful. It's an incredible opportunity to gather around other families that are experiencing the same thing you are. And you get to walk in and just say, I don't have it all together. And we walk through that. And so we're going to be offering multiple offerings for Growing Kids God's Way over this next fall. We're kicking off GEMS, Growing and Encouraging Moms. The season kicks off with a cornerstone event. You heard Pastor Tony share on September 21st. Last year, we had 14 couples that attended our first marriage retreat. And I want you to mark your calendars for the end of January 2014, because we want to do a marriage retreat again. So January 2014, the end of January, we don't have a lot of details out on it yet, but we want to do a marriage retreat again for our couples. Another growing area of ministry in our church is our young adult ministries. And we've been meeting and making official plans to get that group organized and launched. And they are excited. We are excited. And you're going to be seeing a ton more coming out about our young adult ministries. So these are just a few of the highlights in reaching people to equip people. But then we have that last part, to reach people. Now I'm going to end with this just to kind of help you understand. I'm going to clear up some confusion. We want to be a reproducing church. We don't just want to be a church that reproduces other churches, but we want to be a church that reproduces leaders that go out and make a difference for Christ's kingdom. And a part of our 2015 vision is to launch a church plant. And you know, when we brought Pastor Tara Beth on, I had made the reference that our goal is to get her out as fast as possible. And I think that we've taken that literally. So I want to make sure that we clear up a little bit of confusion with Pastor Tara Beth and the church plant that we are launching. We definitely are launching a new church plant, but there's a process that we need to go through first. And we want to launch as soon as possible, but here are the factors. Number one, we need to begin to create a core launch team around her. She needs to be able to gather in a group of people that are going to be committed to the launch of this new church plant. So we have to start building that now. So we're praying about what that looks like. We need to fast and pray about the timing of that launch, and especially the location of that launch. And I would pray right now that maybe if you have a reminder or you have a prayer list, put that on your prayer list as one of those continuing prayers. The timing of that launch and the location of that launch. And we also, kind of a point number three, we need to be significantly reduced on our debt here at the church before we can think about really being smart in launching on another campus. So our debt, we're going to be going into a debt reduction campaign within the next year and a half. The process typically for launching a new community is at minimum 2 years. So we're going to be able to be blessed by Pastor Tara Beth being here with us at Trinity for at least 2 years. And then we're going to launch her out with a core team into a new campus. And then the beautiful thing is we've already begun the process of another generation of campus pastors that are going to be coming up underneath of that and launching a campus as well. The reason why we're doing that, again, just to clarify, is not because we're like, wow, look at how well we're doing. We want to make this larger and more broad. The reason is because we believe we have a niche as a Nazarene church in the story of holiness to our community. Holiness is not preached in this area. The Fox Valley Corridor is lacking intentional holiness communities. Trinity Church is committed in the vision of 2015 to launch a holiness church and a campus that's going to continue to call people to holy living. And the reason why we feel so passionate about it is because we believe in our mission. We believe in our denomination, and we believe in who we stand theologically. And so we want to spread the wealth, and we want to share the joy. So just a quick recap. When you leave today, you're going to get a survey card. It's a simple card. I don't have one up here. But it's a simple card that's going to, the only part that's really survey-ish on it is there's an option for which service that you would prefer to attend. We really would love 100% participation in this, even if that's the only thing that you select, because we're trying to get a good feel for how many people we're going to have in both services. There's lots of questions and lots of things that are getting shaped out over the next couple of weeks. That's why we wanted to make the announcement today, and we're going to launch this on October 6th, so we still have a little bit of time. With that, we are also going to ask for some of you to prayerfully consider moving your service time to 9 o'clock. And the reason that we're going to do that is because we want to allow there to be some room for expansion in our 10:45 service. So please be considering prayerfully if you're can do that. And also, we're going to have to match some of our Sunday school offerings. So we're working with our current teachers and facilitators, and they're going to be putting out, when different offerings are going to be an option during the morning services. We're going to two services, October 6th at 9 and 10:45. And we're definitely going to be praising God for the fruits of that. And then also, we are going to be launching life groups on October 6th at 5:30 with that group link. So group link will be that two-hour special event in order to shape out potentially the groups, what those will look like. Again, you're going to see more information coming out about that and what that's going to look like. But that'll be October 6th at 5:30 in the gym. So for that group link event. And then life groups, the actual groups themselves will launch within 2 weeks after October 6th. We'll start to get those groups up and running. So the survey card will actually serve not just as an opportunity for you to share maybe which service you would at this point prefer to attend, but also on there are a number of opportunities for you to get plugged into the Trinity community. You're going to see opportunities under worship and prayer and under connect and grow and serve especially. We want to continue to activate the community to serve. We want to continue to provide opportunities for you to not only worship on a Sunday morning, but also find an area of ministry, because that's what helps keeps us well-rounded. God calls us. We can't just be consumers. We have to feed as well, And so we want to provide those opportunities. So those survey cards will actually serve more as almost a communication to us, the church staff, the leadership team, and the office, so we can have an understanding of, okay, we have you, and these are the things that you want more information on or areas you want to potentially get plugged into, so that way we can communicate to you better what are some of your needs. So the band's going to come up, and I'm going to close in prayer, and... excuse me. I just want to thank you for your continued support of us as a staff, especially for me as your pastor. And please know that we are excited about the future opportunities in the life of the church. And we just know that God has got awesome things in store. And we want to come alongside of you and to help in any way that we can in moving forward and answering questions to the best of our ability. And then just know that you're going to be hearing more about this. We're going to be communicating more after this Sunday so that you'll be prepared for this transition that will happen on October 6th. Can you commit to praying with me regarding all of the transitions that are taking place? Let's stand and let's pray. And then when we finish, the band's just going to play us out. So after the benediction, you guys will be officially dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you thanking you that this is your vision. Thanking you, Lord, that you have put this on the hearts of not just your leaders and not just your staff, but even on the hearts of the people. Lord, we firmly believe that you have already gone before us and you've already prepared us to be able to navigate these waters successfully, Lord. Lord, in all things, we want to be a church that wants what you want. We want to be a church that has an impact in the community because that's what you want. We don't struggle to know your will in that area, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that you would continue to shape this vision out for us. That you continue to embolden your people, Lord, with a passion and a desire to take this message out into the world, but utilizing the church in front of them as an opportunity to be equipped and discipled and to grow so that we can go out serving as hard as we can. So, Lord, again, we just give you praise and we give you thanks for being the God of this church, for being the God who oversees all of these details, and especially being the God who never leaves us nor forsakes us. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen.